is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
A.J. Watt said all season he's frustrated. Bill O'Brien, you gave him GM power, head coach power, obviously, and fired him after four games. And when I get emails, messages, when I look on Twitter, all I pretty much ever see anymore is sell the team or fire Easterby. And I know Twitter is Twitter, but how can you tell your fan base, this city, that the Texans are committed to excellence when all these things keep happening to the team?
That's a great question. Thank you for that, Brian T. Brian and I go back a few years. We did a bucket challenge together. I don't know if you remember back when the ice bucket challenges were the thing going around and challenged me. And so I appreciate you. You know, 2020 was a hard year for a lot of different reasons. The pandemic was a lot of challenges. The results, like I mentioned earlier, was not what we wanted. If you look at it, we had 10 one-score games. We lost all but two. So we were 2-8 in the one-score games. And, you know, we do have a commitment to win and win the right way. And so changes were needed. If you look at reminds you, it wasn't too long ago. In fact, last year, we were playing for a game in the playoffs.
And, okay, you got to cut this off. You got to stop because Brian T. basically told – your organization sucks. That's all people are talking about is how this sucks. That's a great question, Brian. What?
Remember when we did that fun thing together?
If he's going to be the Patriots, if they're going to be the Patriots of the South,
you got to stop talking so much.
You got to be meaner. I mean, you can't, you got to say, you know what, whatever.
That's in the past. Yeah. We're moving forward. We're on to Cincinnati. Yeah.
On to Cincinnati.
Well, then you'd lose that game, by the way.
Did they play Cincinnati first game next year?
No, but
they play them every year because they both suck.
Yeah, and they lost to them this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would hope he doesn't say.
That should be the biggest thing.
You guys lost to Cincinnati. With
Ryan Finley?
Ugh. Or was it?
Who was it?
It wasn't Finley. Wasn't it the other Allen? Was it Brandon Allen?
Oh, yeah, Brandon Allen.
Yeah. The third Allen.
Didn't Finley just light it up the week before, and they benched him?
I don't know.
What happened?
He was once thought to be the backup, and then they're like, "No, you stink. Let's
Ryan
go to Brandon
Finley
Allen."
Just beat Pittsburgh the week before. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and they said, "Go sit down."
And he must have got hurt.
I don't remember how that played out, but we thought we were seeing Ryan Finley, and instead we saw Brandon Allen.
And he just destroyed. How are you going to stop a Brandon Allen though?
Well, other teams have.
No one's ever.
And no, Finley didn't light him up. He went 7-for-13 against Pittsburgh.
That's 7-for-13. That's lighting him up.
Okay.
But they kicked Pittsburgh's ass.
They won. Yeah, they won 27-17. So maybe he got hurt in that one.
Yeah, I think he got hurt.
Yeah.
There's no way you bench him after he just beat Pittsburgh. Anyway, there was so little care in that game. Wasn't that right around Christmas or something?
It was.
The week before?
I think that was already checked out. It was the second to last game of the year, right? So the Pittsburgh game was the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game was right before Christmas. It was a Monday night game. It was a game right after Christmas. That's the Texans Cincinnati game.
Oh yeah. My shiver getter was broke on the Texans.
It was
so I don't
for know. Everybody's. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. That they lost to they lost to. Are you kidding me? They lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
can't stop Brandon
Cal
Allen.
Asked about why his team sucks so bad and everybody's making fun of him and they blow. And that's a great question.
Remember when we did this together?
I don't know if you remember. He said, of course he remembers.
Why would you be doing the ice bucket challenge with, I know it's a charitable thing, but why did you do it with Brian? Why did you do it with Brian T. Smith?
Brian T. Smith asked him, he said.
I know, but do other owners do challenges with media members? Is that a thing that owners do?
At the time, he wasn't the owner. He was the owner's son.
How long ago was that?
It was
Steven Jones?
The ice bucket challenge was going around 3-4 years ago.
Does Steven Jones do ice bucket challenges with media members?
Well, Steven Jones actually has a title.
Well, Cal had a title at one point before when Bob
was
there, right?
Bill O'Brien did it with Brian T. Smith, too.
Well, speaks to what the hell's going on there.
No, I mean, if you... Now listen, the ice bucket challenge...
was a thing. I know it was a charitable thing. I'm just thinking, do the owner's kids do it with media members? Or is that a specific thing to Cal?
I guess Brian T. asked him, so he did it.
He could have said no.
He could have said no, but he didn't because he's a nice guy.
Maybe.
He's kind of...
What?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I believe you are correct on that, but that doesn't mean he has the skill set to do what he has to do now.
No. I was going to say he's kind of simple, but he's a nice guy.
You should have stuck with nice guy.
I did.
But then you said...
I said he's a nice guy.
Yeah, but then you said what you were going to say anyway.
Well, but honestly...
Honestly, what?
I'm convinced more and more right now that Cal is
he is ill-equipped to do what he has to do.
Yes, he is. You know, when you're getting into, especially with the Johnsons in New York, when you're getting with Dolan in New York, when you're getting into worst owner in sports, you are ill-equipped. Because there are some really, really, really bad owners.
Yeah. Now.
And Cal's right there now.
People have leaned on you want your owner.
He's vying for the championship.
People have leaned on you want your owner to stay out of the way. And that is correct.
And if he
hires the correct people. You have to. And I talked about it with Jerome Solomon. I was doing producing that show yesterday. That the only way, if this works, it's because the Texans lucked into it. Like, if things work out where Caserio works out, because the process is all screwed up.
Yeah.
Because the people you hired to vet these guys, figure out who fits your organization best, he wasn't even in the top 10. And you hired him. So, if this works out, it's by the grace of whoever you decide to pray to.
I wonder, though, how much of it is that he was thought to... not be a good candidate here because Jack Easterby's here. Because he would opt to keep Jack Easterby.
Well, if he opts to keep Jack Easterby, what does that say about if a hiring committee
well,
or consulting
Jack
group
Easterby,
no, but if a hiring committee or consulting group decides Jack Easterby's not good for the organization and they recommended people in your theory, they recommended people who wouldn't keep him around, what does that say about Nick Caserio? He wants to keep him around.
Well, but he knows. Well, that's it. They have a personal relationship.
So what?
They like each other.
And,
I mean, a lot of people like Jack Easterby. Let's not
fine.
Make no mistake about
then
this.
Then like him as a friend. That doesn't mean he should be part of this organization.
Well, no. And again, when asked about his skill set, nobody is too definitive. No one is definitive at all about what his skill set is. No one. He just is good with people. He gets the most. He's a good life coach, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no football in there.
Then why?
But he does have value to an organization in that there are a lot of guys in a football organization that need life coaches.
Does he have a lot of value for a well-run organization?
But yeah, he was with the Patriots.
And what did he do? What did he rise to as a Patriot?
Bill Belichick gave
what
him
did he
a
rise
ringing
to?
Endorsement other than the personnel.
What did he rise to as a Patriot? But what was his what
life
was
coach?
Life coach. Some not even a real thing in a football organization. They gave him a title. Great. They didn't give him executive vice president of whatever it is here. He was the life coach. He was the guy you could talk to. That's not going to be all his responsibilities here. The guy you can run to.
He's not going to have football. He's not going to have.
That is what they're telling us.
Yeah.
But who knows what he will actually be doing? They say that, but we'll see what he actually will be doing. I think Jack Easterby is happy that his role is ambiguous now, that people don't really know. It's best for him that they don't know. But he'll have his hand. He'll talk to Nick about things. Hey, Nick, this particular guy you're looking at, maybe he's not right for us. I'm sure that those type of conversations will go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, he may vet people and, you know, for the character purposes, which is good and bad. I mean, you know what? We want good guys. I wouldn't want them to draft Joe Mixon. I didn't want them to draft Joe Mixon.
I understand that.
You know?
You can find a running back that didn't do what he did.
You can't. Yeah, right.
That is
you
reasonable.
You can find good guys.
You can.
Don't sign Greg Hardy. Okay.
But I'm there's a you're talking about extreme cases. I'm wondering what level a player has to reach to be considered a bad guy. Oh, did he smoke weed a couple times? Is that an issue? Well, we've heard that before, which apparently was an issue, and that's a problem. Look, the morality thing, I understand you want that as part of your organization, but the morale, if you're coming down on a guy because he has a child out of wedlock, I don't want you making football decisions for me.
Look, and again, we're talking about optics, but the thought was that either or both, the general manager and the coach was going to be African-American.
That's what the thought was.
Now, neither will be. I mean, is there an African-American coach right now that you see as a possibility?
Does one work for Bob Lamont? Does Bob Lamont work for an African-American head coach possibility? Because that feels like how it's going to go,
yeah.
A Bob Lamont guy.
No, that's why Brian Daboll, who's a white guy, is probably the most likely, is probably going to be the guy. But this does not help the optics of the Houston Texans.
They are considered a joke. How they did things was a joke.
Well,
if it comes out that Omar Khan would have gotten the job, that would say, hey, they legitimately considered a minority candidate, but they allowed their I don't know,
life coach?
Their life coach to undercut it. And what does that say? So you could say, I don't look, we talked about that Deadspin headline, and I'm not buying into it too much either.
Well, the
racism is ruining the Texans, yeah. Whatever exactly it was, something along those lines. I don't want to get into that. The process of how they do things is the problem. And if the people you said Corn Ferry were the people you wanted to help you in finding a candidate, and they found a candidate who happened to be minority in this case, and then your life coach did an end around to got to the owner and brought in Nick Caserio because they're buddies, the process is all screwed up. It's all screwed up. And now you have to hope and pray that Nick Caserio is the guy you believe he was a couple years ago. How long ago was it that they tried to get him? Year and a half? You have to hope your fake tampering, you have to hope that was justified. Because the process says you screwed this up, and you have to hope you lucked into getting the right guy. Because no NFL team, well, we assume, no NFL team would do what they did to get this done. He wasn't even in the top 10.
No, I mean, we're obvious. No, none of this. It's all, we're rehashing. But the fact of the matter is, it's over the weekend it got worse. What with Mike Florio putting out there that Jamie Roots, now I heard some stuff behind the scenes, but Jamie Roots is going to be out now too, according to Mike Florio.
In a voluntary decision?
Yes, that Jamie Roots is actually, and I hope that's the case, because if Jack Easterby has poisoned the waters for Jamie Roots in that organization, then I would say, then it is, it's way worse than Littlefinger now. But if now Jack Easterby is responsible for Deshaun being pissed off at the organization, directly responsible, because he's the one that circumvented the whole process, went behind the scenes, got him to hire Nick Caserio, and it pissed Deshaun off.
But Deshaun has been a part of a winning culture, we know. So exclude who he might have wanted, minority candidates, whatever. If he's been told and he can confirm how this process went down, he's got to go, that's not how you win. This is not how it gets done. So, of course, he's going to be upset.
Yep. All right, 1015 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. I'm in love with the cocoa. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Del Olale.
People got to watch their words, Del. Did you see, apparently, I don't know her, Haley Deegan?
Never heard of her.
She's a NASCAR driver.
Okay.
And they have the audio. You know, the one dude, well, he was doing a simulated race, right, where he dropped an N-bomb?
Oh, yeah, Kyle, what's his name?
Larson?
Yeah.
Kyle Larson. He dropped an N-bomb on everybody during the simulated race, and he was suspended. He's back now.
Yes.
Haley Deegan, apparently this weekend, she's kind of, I don't know why she doesn't get more play.
Why? Because of how she looks?
Yeah.
She's 19. Relax. For your sake.
She's still old enough.
No, I'm just saying, you tend to go, oh, that's creepy when she's...
That is creepy, but she's pretty hot for a 19-year-old. I don't care.
There it is.
But, I mean, she should get more play than she does. Well, she dropped an R-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She, and she had to apologize. Somebody was coming up behind her or something, making some kind of move behind her, and she was like, what are you doing back there?
Yeah, and this was in a virtual race.
And that was a virtual race, too?
Yeah, she's sitting in a car. Like, not a real car. She's sitting in, the setup, kind of like
I think it's all about the virtual race, because you don't think, people are listening to you or
something? Yeah, I mean, she posted an image of what she would be doing. Tonight's the night. I'm on her Instagram. First stream on Twitch at 8 p.m. She's in that advanced setup, kind of like what Kyle Larson and Bubba Stewart were doing at the time. When NASCAR was not racing because of COVID, she's in that same type of setup. And yeah, I guess she forgot that, you know, you're on the internet and people are going to be able to hear you.
Mm-hmm. Apparently not. But people are too relaxed. It's like when they call this show. Yeah. They just start saying ugly words and you're like, no, you can't say that.
And of course she had to tweet and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier tonight, I used an insensitive word during an online race being broadcast on Twitch. It was inappropriate slang and a stupid thing to do. I apologize to everyone who was offended by it. There's no excuse for it. And now I have to do better for my sponsors and my fans.
Did you see Justin Thomas had to apologize?
Yeah. He didn't drop an R word, but he used a gay slur.
Yeah. Was it the F word?
I'm much like you. I saw the headline, didn't read the story.
Well, I read the story, but no one said everybody's too afraid to say what the word was.
They can't do that whole F and then --- thing that they normally do.
No one did that.
I don't know. Thomas says it's inexcusable. First off, I just apologize. I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. There's absolutely no reason.
He left a putt short,
mm-hmm.
You know, and he called it, he used it on himself.
He called himself
He called himself.
Oh.
Don't be up or whatever.
Hmm.
Or Justin, you know, a homophobic slur.
Yeah, we can kind of guess what he called himself. I mean, particularly out on the course. I don't know how many words you're going to use in that situation, but the one we're all thinking.
Yeah. So are you watching? Look at this commercial that's on right now. The AT&T commercial.
Uh-huh.
Where the dude goes into the store and he gets the deal that everybody can get, even if you're still an AT&T, if you're with AT&T.
Yeah, he thinks it's special because...
Yeah, he thinks it's special, so he calls his mom. But he accidentally called a guy named Chuck. You tried to call your mom, but you called Chuck?
On a cell phone?
On a cell phone.
When
it just says
mom on it.
And you hit mom?
Yeah, it's not a very realistic commercial.
You think it's not very realistic?
Because when you take your phone out of your pocket and you actually go through the process of your contacts, a butt dial is one thing. But if your phone's out and you hit, how do you mistake Chuck for mom?
Yeah. Do you know that Lily, who's on there?
Yes.
Have you ever Google imaged her?
We've had this talk before, yes.
Yeah.
Milena Weintraub, I think is her name.
Weintraub.
Yeah, she is the actress in these commercials, and she complained about, you know, people coming on her Instagram Live and talking about her, let's just say, her stature. And by stature, I mean her figure. And she's like, guys, please, I'm a human being. Please don't. And John's like, the pictures are out there. What do you want them to do?
Well, you're the one that's wearing some of the stuff you were wearing there.
I guess if I was her,
Melania.
Melania has a couple more days of doing her job before she has to move on to something else. I think Lily's going to have a longer tenure.
Lily, yeah.
She just said, hey, guys, I'm a human being. Can you not directly talk about my boobs to my face? Could you not do that?
Listen.
Yes, I understand the pictures, but hey, I'm a human. Don't come on my Instagram live or DM me and talk about my body parts.
Y'all Google Lily, AT&T Lily, yeah, and her images.
The picture out there, but you don't have to go to her Instagram and tell her about them.
No, I wouldn't do that. I didn't do that.
I think that was her biggest problem. Guys, please, human being.
I know. I'm the one showing them off. So, I know all about them. I stare at them every day.
Well, she didn't use that. She didn't say that. But I get it. Look, the picture out there, understood. But don't come to me and talk about them to my face like that. Yeah. It's a little disrespectful.
Well, I guess.
A little bit.
But apparently, in case she wasn't aware of them.
Yeah, you mean the thing, the body part of her body, since, I don't know when she developed or anything, but right. She knows.
Every time she looks in the mirror?
She knows that they're there, that they exist.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm just wondering if she does.
Relax, everybody.
In case she doesn't know.
You needed to inform her.
You needed to inform her. Right. Yeah. Apparently, Mitch Trubisky won the MVP this year.
The MVP?
MVP.
Nickelodeon gave him an award?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, they voted. They had a vote for it. Akeem Hicks finished second, and then Cam Jordan finished third. But he apparently won the Nickelodeon Valuable Player Award. Mitch Trubisky did.
Why? Did the kids vote on it?
The kids, yeah, but I'm pretty sure some adults got in there just to ruin it.
I'm sure that's what happened.
Just to ruin it, that's all. Did you, Cal, watch the Nickelodeon? I don't think Cal did. But if you want to keep Hannah awake, you're going to probably have to put that one on. Matthew Berry tweeted out that it looks like the Dolphins and Deshaun thing, if Deshaun actually forced that the Dolphins would be a real possibility.
I imagine they would do
Tua,
that.
Tua, number 3, number 18, and a second rounder.
Tua, 18, future first, and a second rounder. I'm not giving you 3 back. Wouldn't that be insulting to you guys?
Yes.
To get 3 back?
No. We'll take 3 back.
No, Tua, top 5 pick, first rounder. 18, another first rounder. That's 3 first rounders. That's a lot.
No, I'm with Matthew Berry on this one.
I don't care.
Okay, now honestly, is that something? Now, John McClain has put out there, I've got a better chance of being head coach than the Texans trading Deshaun Watson. And I don't believe it happens. Unless Deshaun is very disgruntled.
Yeah, we don't – look, the whole he's out of 10 in his anger level, that could subside when they have a conversation. And maybe he loves the head coach they hire. Who knows? That can all change. But if Deshaun is pissed – and nothing's going to change his mind, and he says, we got no shot of winning here, get me out of here, I could see a trade happening. It would be one of the most unique trades in NFL history. A guy his age at quarterback, his skill level being traded, that doesn't happen.
Now, here's another.
You have to really screw it up for that to happen.
Well, here's another thing, though. Apparently it's only $22 million. SpotTrack has it differently, but it's $22 million against the cap, a dead cap hit, which isn't bad, but you get out of a $40 million a year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're strapped, plus you get a good young player, plus you get the number 3 pick, plus you get the 8, plus you get a second. I honestly think it's something you'd have to consider.
Particularly if he tells you, I want no part of you guys anymore. If he's that clear about his disgust with what you are.
Yes.
It's
not unlike Harden.
No, it isn't. I mean, now Rafael Stone and the Rockets have decided we'll play out the season because until we get the right things back, the Texans would find an easier path to getting the right things back. Now, you're never going to get the level of player that Deshaun is, but you can start to say, look, quarterback, and apparently Nick Caserio really liked Tua. That came out over the weekend that he liked him as a prospect. He just wasn't in a position to take him last year. So if you like him as a prospect and you get 2 first-rounders in a second, you say to yourself, maybe it's a full reboot. I don't have the pressure of trying to win immediately with a big time quarterback. I can start from scratch.
There's a commitment to excellence here, Dell. I know this. Somebody said, Doug. He said they trade Deshaun. I'm done with him. I am done with them. And I think a lot of people might be the same.
Yeah, it's a move that you have to weigh because how do you come back from it? Look. Tua's okay in his rookie year. We don't know what he'll be, but you trade that type of player in Deshaun, you're going to lose a lot of people. They have to weigh that.
Yep.
But they have the they have to have these internal discussions. And if your quarterback says, I want no part of you, then maybe a decision has to be. I don't see it happening, though.
No.
Because it's never happened.
No.
This
no, a quarterback in his prime, a who, top quarterback, a top five quarterback in the league.
Who doesn't want to stay and forces his way out.
Wow.
It would speak to the how bad it is. We think it's bad, but if they've run him out of town.
It might be that bad.
Yeah.
Well, 1029 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-37. You got any thoughts on this? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Let it bump, though.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, just a couple segments left. Then we'll take you to the press box with Joel and Charlie and Nick and throughout the day. So here we go. All weekend long, we got the national championship game tonight, and it is going to be Alabama-Ohio State. And you take the 8.5 points, huh?
I like it because of history and how Ohio State will try to attack Bama. It is there is one of the, maybe their only weaknesses, and it's been that way since Nick Saban's got there. Teams who throw the ball downfield and are capable of doing it have success. They don't always win, but they score points. And I think they can play. And Saban against teams with comparable talent in the playoff era, he doesn't blow teams out. Georgia, Clemson twice. Those games were close, and he lost. And he almost lost two of them, only lost the one. I like Ohio State if they have enough guys. We'll find out later on what their COVID situation is. They have the right guys in the right spots. I think they play within a number.
It's interesting. 8.5 is a big number that Ohio State is getting, especially a national team like that. Right now, the betting is pretty even. You would think, you know, anything less. Yeah, listen, Alabama they'll jump all over Alabama. The bookies don't want all that money on Alabama. Not that they want even money. They like a side. But 8.5 is telling me anybody. Alabama's been favored by more than that against everybody this year. Against everybody.
Yeah.
And Ohio State hasn't been good.
No.
They have not been a good football team. It's just that it's Ohio State's name and the way that they looked against Clemson.
Yeah, maybe.
That doesn't mean that's how they're going to look on
true.
Tonight.
Maybe Clemson was uniquely susceptible. Yes. We talked about it during.
They had a lot of white guys on defense.
Well, that is the unsaid thing by a lot. Not by us. Let me finish. By others. We've talked about it plenty. And I said during a break, come on, Venable, stop playing. You can't have your true freshman kid out there playing in a playoff.
His kid.
Yeah.
No, literally, his son.
He has two kids on the team. Jake, I think, plays linebacker, but he was hurt. He didn't play, but he would have played. Probably would have taken over Soskowski if he was healthy. And he had Tyler Venables playing safety in a college football semifinal. And by the way, his kid, we went through who he was offered by because he had a scholarship. He was offered by Coastal Carolina, and that might have been his best scholarship other than Clemson. This isn't some four-star prospect who maybe Clemson wouldn't have taken if he wasn't for his dad. He's like a mid-low three-star that's starting on a national title contender because his daddy is a defensive coordinator. Cut it out. Stop messing.
Well, look, it caught up to him.
Yeah, finally.
It caught up to him. 1034 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Tommy Stark in here. Hey, Tommy Stark.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I had a bone to pick with Texans fans for them supporting the team still, you know, buying season tickets and whatnot. Look, the Texans are like our first wives, right? They nothing but empty promises. They totally gut you by leaving no draft picks. That's like taking the kids and you still have to pay child support. The list just goes on and on. I mean, why would you want to stick around in a bad relationship? Why are you supporting this team? You know, that's just... I don't know. I think we should just disown the team. Oh, and by the way, Dale, I left you a nomination for Cal's favorite songs on Twitter.
Okay.
Look it up, man.
I'll take a look.
I'll hang up and listen.
You know what? Yeah, people have been calling for it for a while. Stop buying tickets, and this thing will change. I don't know. And first of all, organizing fans to do that. I mean, you just won't. There are diehard fans out there that are just, you know, they just won't. I've bought my season tickets every year up until this year, and I might again next year. I don't know.
Is the experience that good at Texans games?
No.
So what is just force of habit?
I rarely sit in my seats.
Yeah, they're not
I
even
use the tickets to get in, or I give them away, or I mean,
as a season ticket holder, I mean, sure, watching a good football team is great, but you know they're not a good football team. So what would be the appeal of buying tickets next year?
Yeah. Well, at first it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I
well,
know.
At first I was on the sideline, but all my peeps, they would
it
go.
Was new and it was fun to go.
Yeah, it was fun. Tailgate and everything else. And we've tailgated plenty out there. No, the experience is not. It's not. I mean, I've been to every stadium in the NFL. Most everyone, because there's some have changed since I was on the sidelines. But it's not that it's different. There's a lot more excitement at other places. There's a lot more excitement. There's a lot more tradition, obviously, mm-hmm. because the Texans aren't as old. There's a lot more
personality to stadiums. Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what was funny was the Jets was neat, and the firemen standing up and everybody, everybody getting into it. I mean, that was pretty cool. The Cleveland fans, the Philly fans, the Raider fans, I mean, they're just so Pittsburgh. They're so, and Bills fans, they're so intense.
And it's just my thing for aesthetics, but I don't like football being played inside, like in coverage. It's not my thing.
New Orleans?
I know the environment changes things, but just like I'm glad the national title games in Miami, they have a covered canopy, but it's outside still. It's an open air stadium for the most part. I just don't look the Texans, whatever. I just that's part of the thing for me. I don't like the experience of watching football games or going to football games inside, and that stadium doesn't have a lot of personality to begin with. The roof was supposed to be, the open roof was supposed to be a thing that was an attraction, and it's rarely open.
Yeah. No. Well, now it's open more because Bill O'Brien's gone. Bill O'Brien's gone, so now you can open it more. But even still, it's still, I don't want to say it's antiseptic, but it's not, it just doesn't have the same, I'm telling you, I've been to all of them. I was on the sideline here. It just doesn't have this. It's not the same atmosphere. It's not the same intensity that it is at other places. It's just not. I mean, we're a city, though. I mean, just like the Rockets, we're a city that sits on our hands a lot. I'm not the same way. The Astros fans are great, but I mean, we are reactive as opposed to proactive as far as fans go. We are not going to. Now, the Texans a little bit more on third down. Everybody will stand up and cheer and, you know, stuff like that. But other places, first down.
Yeah.
Every down. And the Colts, holy crap. You can't hear yourself when the Texans have the ball, and you can hear a pin drop when the Colts have the ball.
And you've been to the new stadium? Lucas Oil?
I have.
Okay. And you mentioned Minute Maid, even removing the hill and the, when that got taken out, there's a personality to that place.
Oh, yeah. No.
Just because of how they set it up in the Crawford boxes, there's something unique about that place that you're not going to find at another ballpark unless you go to Globe Life, because they built it the same way practically in Texas or whatever it's called there. But there's a personality about Minute Maid. There's no personality to NRG.
None. No, there really isn't. But even at Minute Maid, you know, there could be a really big pitch in the fourth inning, two outs, bases loaded, and you know, it's like pulling teeth. I mean, I'm up screaming and saying, get up, let's go, and it just won't. If it's the ninth, and it, you know, and there's two outs, then people, but I wish we were more I'm proactive here. I really do. I really wish we were. And the same with the Rockets. If it's the fourth quarter and a couple minutes left and they need to stop, you know, fans will finally get going and start screaming, but that's just our city, I guess. That's just, I'm not, and I'm not, you know, I love it, and I you know, all our teams and everything else, but I just wish we were just a little bit more intense about our team.
What do you look?
Of course, I don't want to be Philadelphia.
No, but they're crazy. Is it something to do with the fact that people come down here and adopt a team, possibly? Now, there's certainly people who grew up here and are root for the teams, but, you know, most Philly fans, no one from Oregon's going to move to Philly and become a Sixer fan.
No one moves to Philly. That's all people do is move away from Philly.
That's how. And Houston is one of those cities where people come here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that plays a part, but I feel you. I see some of that, but the Texans as a whole, the whole thing is something that doesn't bring passion. The playoffs are different, but we've talked about it. We've gone through everything the Texans do to make you think they're boring.
Yeah. No, it's corny. The first down and saying it's all corn and the song and everything else. I mean, everything. Red, white, and blue. Everything. Everything. I mean, they couldn't be. And now look at the owner. Good Lord.
And you might have made your star quarterback the first one you ever had disillusioned about your franchise. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Been a great couple seasons. The only thing that you got going for you now, you know, the only that Bieniemy said it as well. When Eberflus said, "I'm not coming here. I don't want it. No, I'm okay." There's only 32 NFL jobs. You're a guy who's never had an NFL head coaching
job. And he's eliminating one of them from the equation.
And he said, no, I don't want any part of that
and
situation.
And allegedly, Bieniemy, who's having trouble, says, nah, I'm out. Christian Fourier was on 610, and they had him on. Said, Bieniemy doesn't want this job. Doesn't want it.
My gosh. You want to talk about screwing up a soup sandwich. These guys, I mean, it is unbelievable how these guys can, I mean, how Cal can screw. It's unbelievable. It literally is unbelievable. All right, 1043 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next right here. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Still some stuff coming out from the Capitol riot, Del. Apparently, Axe had to condemn the riots. A can of body spray was left by the mob there.
Yeah, I saw that. And Axe had to make a statement about it.
If I'm going to, right before you go and riot, you spray yourself? I want to smell good while I'm doing it. What?
I don't know. People around you stink.
Or you think he was spraying it on other people, on stinky?
Look, I don't know the thought process of a potential rioter taking a deodorant with them. I don't know. Maybe he had camped out, and maybe it was just part of his stuff, or she. I don't know. It's probably a he. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Do women use Axe?
I don't know. No. I think it's for men, so probably not. I can't explain any of it. Going there, taking your Axe with you, and why Axe had to, just because they happened to be when one of the photos, have to tell everyone, look, guys, we do not support rioting and destruction of property, even though one of our products was on the scene.
Yeah.
Seems like something Axe wouldn't have had to do.
Well, but they did.
Well,
they had to condemn the riots.
Well, they're not the only ones who have now disavowed anything to do with that. And now your organization, your favorite organization, has decided, sorry.
The PGA of America has decided they're not going to Trump, his course outside New York, right outside
Bedminster?
New York.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
Bedminster. I think that's what it is.
Bedminster. And I don't know. I never heard of it.
It's the 2022 PGA Championship.
Right, so they're not going now.
Bedminster Trump National won't be hosting. It's in New Jersey. Won't be hosting the PGA Championship 2022.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does. It's not in line with. Is it? Isn't it, though?
Well,
isn't
it, I don't though? Think they're in line with potential destruction of property.
No, nobody's in line with that. So I don't want to get into the politics.
No, neither do I.
But they just, you know what? You know what we got to do, guys? Let's just not go there.
Look, guys,
Can you imagine the media that week?
Well, Bill Belichick. Well, that's more politics, but you know, the Boston papers are getting after Belichick because he might accept.
We're going to get the Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, it's.
Is he going?
I don't know, but it's announced that he's supposed to get. I don't know. So yeah, sports and politics combining, and people are divvying up and taking sides.
Screw you! You get the Medal of Freedom.
What's he getting it for? Like for coaching football?
For freedom.
I gotta figure
because he's a big proponent of freedom.
We talked about this last week when Annika
Gary Player. He's not even from here.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how you qualify for it. I don't care about the politics of it. How do you qualify for the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Coaching football gets it for you?
Yes, because you're coaching free men. Okay.
Like Tiger has.
You know, Bob McNair wouldn't get it because he thinks he's coaching prisoners.
Well,
he's owning.
And he's dead. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing.
Is it just for sports figures? Because Mariano Rivera's gotten it.
Everybody gets it. How about some people from this country now?
Well, they gave it to Tiger.
Is he from here?
Yes.
I got to watch his documentary.
Yeah, Lance spoiled it for you, though.
Apparently, we got more deaths from the riots now, right?
Yeah, the officer, unfortunately, the Capitol police officer, died. And there was a story about another Capitol police officer who committed suicide.
Yeah, and one that was beaten to death.
And well, that's the one I referenced first. Yeah, he succumbed to his injuries at the hospital. Apparently, they hit him in the head with a fire extinguisher.
God.
Yeah.
A Kennesaw woman, she died during the Capitol building siege. She was trampled to death.
Mm-hmm.
She was carrying a sign that said, "Don't tread on me."
I mean, I'm not laughing. It's just
it's ironic.
How it works, how amazing how the world works and irony works sometimes.
Yeah. Your NYPD anti-discrimination chief has been suspended, Dell. Why do you think he's been suspended?
For discriminating?
Well, apparently he has a bunch of hateful messages. He posted a bunch of hateful messages to a website where cops air grievances anonymously. Apparently, they're not anonymous anymore.
Yeah, I would like to know the guys who participate in that. If everyone knows it's a place for police officers to air their grievances, maybe don't go to the website.
But if all the guys that take that position, a guy who's really kind of hateful.
Well.
If, you would think it would.
Well, let me ask you something, John. Would you take a job you weren't really fit for as far as your beliefs if it, you know, was a bump in salary?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think.
How about.
It's not on him. I mean, it's on the people who vet.
Yeah.
How about you vet him better?
Right. How did you vet this guy?
Yeah. How did he wind up there?
Well, I mean, and some of the things he's posted.
You would think some of that stuff would have come out in his everyday life that you would have been able to figure out. It wouldn't have been strictly isolated to a message board. You kind of maybe do some digging. You might have found some stuff.
Yeah. Apparently, we've got another. Who's the woman? Rachel Dolezal?
Dolezal?
Dolezal. She pretended to be black.
She identified as a black person.
Right. There's a lawyer who pretended to be a Latina for a decade. Turns out, whitey.
And does she identify as Latina? Or speaking of that, did you see that story? Alec Baldwin's wife, she pretended to be a woman from Spain. Like apparently she was born in the Northeast, and maybe she spent a summer in Spain or something, or maybe she had a couple trips there. And as an adult, she pretended like English was her second language. Like she would go on. She went on the Today Show and she was talking about cooking and she went, you know how that typical thing you see on TV shows, how you say, like if you're a Spanish speaker and you're trying to figure out a word to say in English, she did that. Like how you say cucumber. She did that. Alec Baldwin's wife. And it turns out everyone's like, no, she's a white girl from the Northeast.
Good for her.
And people are like, why are you doing this? She had to go on Instagram.
Why does Tom Hanks' son talk like that?
Well, don't talk about Chet that way.
Okay.
Leave Chet alone.
Why is she doing that?
Leave Chet alone. But you're a girl, like, she's been putting on this thing about, I'm from Spain. I'm from España. I'm like, no.
No.
Everyone knows that you're not. But right. She had it going for years. And she had to come out on Instagram and now and say, well, I spent some time in Spain and I finally decided to stay. Like, no, you didn't. You spent like a summer there. Like, John, you were in Spain. You didn't come back. You speak Spanish, but you don't go, you don't talk about things. How you say chicken wing?
Well, everybody knows how to say chicken wing.
That's true.
Carrots.
How you say?
I don't know.
How you say?
I don't know.
Is he carrot? No,
no,
it's carrot.
Is carrot?
You know how to say carrot, lady, because you were buying them in a Boston market.
Here's a disturbing story, Del. Apparently, there are chastity cages for men.
You didn't know about that?
And they're internet connected.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And apparently, a hacker has taken control of them.
Ooh,
he posted a message to them, or to one of the victims. Your C is mine now.
And if you don't know what a chastity case is, it's much like a chastity belt, those things you saw in the movies where a man puts something around his junk.
His manhood?
His manhood. And there's a lock on it. And usually it's because this dude's a submissive dude and maybe there's a woman he's with and he allows her to control it. I didn't know they were online based.
Well, apparently she can control it by the internet.
Huh.
Hmm. It prevents them from being stimulated and can be unlocked remotely. Apparently, they didn't use a good enough security system, though, and a hacker got in.
Ooh. Oof.
Don't want any of that. Apparently, now there's another story. A popular rabbi warns COVID vaccine, Del, could make you gay. Did you know that Rabbi Daniel Asor thinks, and I don't know anything about it. I haven't even have you applied for a vaccine?
No, I haven't at all.
No, I haven't either. But I don't know. Apparently, the rabbi thinks, and we're gonna have to look into this.
He thinks
that the vaccine could make you gay.
Huh,
do you
what
think
is he,
that
what,
the vaccine? Are you gonna take the vaccine now that you know?
I don't know that
it could make you gay.
I don't know.
Well, the rabbi said it.
That's because the rabbi said it doesn't mean I believe him. Is he a man of science or a man of God?
I don't know. You don't know he's not a scientist.
Oh, I know. I believe he's a man of...
You don't know that he's not a vaccine scientist.
I'm going to say he is the only one saying it can make you gay. So I'm going to... If I'm going to take it...
What if he's right? Are you going to take a vaccine?
Well, COVID... I'm not at risk so much. No, but
I'm not hearing an answer.
I don't know.
Yes or no?
If any drug could legitimately change my sexuality that I didn't want to happen, no, I wouldn't take it. COVID vaccine, not. And by the way, one more thing about this hilarious Alec Baldwin's wife. She goes by Hilaria. Her name's really Hillary.
Hillary?
She added
Hilaria.
Hilaria to be, you know, Spanish.
Hilaria.
Her name
would be Hilaria because you don't pronounce the H.
Oh, Hilaria. Maybe it's Hilaria Baldwin. Her name's Hillary.
Hillary.
Yes.
Stop, Hillary.
But to answer your question full out,
no.
If a vaccine could change my sexuality, I would say no to the vaccine.
You like your sexuality as it is.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a matter of being...
You're not opposed to...
I'm not opposed to being gay, but I'm not gay, so I wouldn't take something to change my sexuality.
All right. At that. With that.
With Joel? Because he's up next.
We'll ask him on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.